Let's hold it up for a minute. Now, under 25. The rest of you stand up. Anybody under 25? All right. The rest of you look around now. Amen. All right. You may be seated. Good crowd of young people here tonight, and that's what we're going to be talking about. If all of those young people's parents were here, they wouldn't be nowhere to sit. Makes you kind of wonder, don't it? Now, if you have your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 18. Now, everybody get just as quiet as you can, okay? Just as quiet as you can. 2 Samuel chapter 18, begin reading verse 19. This is the story of David and his son Absalom. He used this thought a couple of years ago and maybe used it a little bit different tonight than before. But I feel like the Lord laid this message on our heart for the service tonight. And we want to bring you a message tonight from 2 Samuel chapter 18. Begin reading verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies." And Joab said unto him, "Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Then said Joab to Cushai, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. See, that's the only way they got news. They didn't have telephones. When they want to tell somebody something, somebody'd run and tell them. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" "But howsoever," said he, "let me run." And he said unto him, "Run." There's a case of a man with a lot of zeal and no knowledge. He's wanting to run, and he ain't got nothing to say, but he's just wanting to run. And Joab says, "Well, ain't nothing else to do. You just run." He takes off running. Ain't got nothing to say. He just takes off running. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, "If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth." And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, "Behold, another man running along." And the king said, "He also bringeth tidings." And the watchman said, "Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings." And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great multitude, but I knew not what it was." And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is." And the king was much moved, and went up over to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. In verse 32, you'll find the text. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? I want to preach to you tonight on, is the young man safe? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for our help, our strength, all the many blessings of life, God, that you've given us. Lord, we realize and know tonight, God, that without you, we're nothing. And Lord, unless you come and help us and anoint these lips of clay, we'll not be able to say or do anything tonight, Lord. It'd be of eternal value. Oh, God, we pray the Holy Spirit of the living God may come, touch these lips of clay. Help us, Lord, to say just exactly what you'd want said tonight. Our Father, we realize the devil is making a bid for our young people. I pray, God, that we as moms and dads will rise up and plead the blood and claim the promises and say it'll not be so. Lord, our young people will be saved. God, I don't only pray for my daughter sitting here tonight. I don't only pray, Lord, for my other church members here tonight, their kids. Lord, I don't only pray for these kids that come on the bus, Lord, that I don't even know their names. But God, I pray for that multitude of boys and girls out there tonight, running up and down the streets with no hope, with no God, with no future. Lord, if something don't happen, help us tonight, Lord, as a church, to get under the burden and care and pray and work and fast and do what's necessary that our young people may be saved. Save that one which is lost here in this service tonight. Help them to realize, God, this is no playing games. Help them, Lord, to realize this serious business and do what needs to be done in the lives of parents and kids here tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, is the young man safe? Or, as we would think about it tonight, are the young people saved? That ought to be the main question in every mom and dad's mind. Is my boy saved? Is my girl saved? And of course, if they're not, it should be the main goal in a man or a woman's life for their children to be saved. Of course, this is a question that every parent should ask. Now in this story tonight, you'll find an amazing truth. David, the king of Israel, was a great man. David was king. He ruled over all the land of Israel. And David had some sons. And because of his sin with Bathsheba, he reaped it in his four sons. Nathan told David, he said, you're going to restore fourfold. And David did just that. Four times he went to a funeral or a gravesite or had a tragedy in the home and restored four lambs for the sheep that he stole from Uriah the Hittite. And David reaped a lot of his sin in his children. And a lot of David's problems came in his children because of his sin. And of course tonight we don't like to think about that, but it's Bible and gospel truth that many times the mess our children gets into is because of the sinful life that we and my dads would live in front of them. Now, it came to pass on this day that it had a great battle, and the king's son was killed in the battle. You remember the story of Absalom, and I'm going to be telling you a little bit more about this young man in a minute. But the king's son was killed in battle, and there was two men came to run and tell David about the battle. The first one came in, and he's holding up his fingers, and he said, all is well. The Lord has given us the victory. And the king said, is the young man safe? That's what David was concerned about. And that old first boy, he said, oh, everything's well. He said, now, I don't want to spoil the good news. I saw a big crowd gathering around over there. Looked like somebody was hurt, but I didn't pay no attention to it. I don't believe you got nothing to worry about, king.
That man would be represented by the school system and by the educational world and by the public world and by the TV and by the teeny bop magazines. They're telling you there's nothing to worry about, that boys will be boys and girls will be boys and every kid's got to sow their wild oats. But then the next little runner came in and he said, what are y'all laughing at? Did I mess up? Y'all a bunch of smart alecks. You know it? Ruin a good message. But anyway, whatever I meant to say, that's what I meant. And he came in and he said, "Hey, King, I've got news." And the king said, "What, is the young man safe?" And he said, "King, I sure do hate to tell you, but I've got heavy tidings." Now that word heavy, you know, as the young people say today, man, that's heavy. Well, that really means bad. It don't mean good. When kids say heavy today, they say, "Boy, I like that." But in the Bible, heavy meant terrible. And he said, "I've got heavy tidings." And when somebody come along and said, "I've got heavy tidings," they meant bad news, brother. Heavy, heavy, hang over your head. I mean, you're in trouble. Something terrible has done happen. And so he came in and he said, "Heavy tidings." And the king said, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "Is the young man safe? Is the young man safe?" And the man said, "Well, King, let me put it like this. Let all your enemies be as that young man is." And King David, with a broken heart, and with a broken soul, and with a contrite spirit, hung his head and went walking through the palace after it was too late for his boy to be saved, and began to cry and scream and say, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son, my son Absalom." You know, many times moms and dads don't even speak to their kids, have a wrong relationship between a daddy and a son or a mother and a daughter, but when they walk in and see them in a little casket or see them stretched out there in a funeral home, they cry out, "Oh, my son, my son, my son, my son." But it's too late to do anything about it. You see, Absalom and David had a little falling out a few years before over the rape of the girl there, Ammon, a few chapters back. And Absalom avenged his brother's rape of his fat sister. And David was going to get in trouble, so he ran away from home. And David and Absalom was not on speaking terms. Absalom didn't want to follow in his daddy's footsteps. They had a bad relationship, like a lot of parents have with their teenagers today. I have moms in this county that call me on the telephone and says, "This Danny Castle." And I say, "Yeah." And they say, "This is so-and-so." And they say, "I go to this church, or I do that and that. So I've got a boy, and I want you to know, I wish there's some way you could go talk to him." And I said, "Well, what's the matter?" And they said, "Well, he's out here living with a gang in an old house down here, and they're on drugs, and they're living like the devil." And she says, "I can't talk to him. He won't come home. And every time he walks in the house, me and him gets in a fuss. I've just lost complete contact with him. Oh, would you help me pray? Would you go visit him?" And a lot of times we have. Sometimes it helped, and sometimes it didn't. Sometimes they lost that kid way back yonder when they'd led home and on Sunday and wouldn't take him to the house of God. When that kid was little and they should have had him in God's house hearing the preaching. They was laying out on Saturday night to movies and laying home watching TV on Sunday night. And then when they get out and get in trouble and get on drugs and get in jail, they call somebody trying to say, "Hey, it's too late then, folks. Now's the time to do something about them while they're little." That's why we have youth revival. That's why we have youth services. That's why we have Sunday school. It's so that our young people will be saved. I want you to know, listen, folks, if the Lord don't come, you're going to see a wild generation in about 20 years. This generation growing up on punk rock and growing up, you know, all they know is video games. They don't know how to get out and run and play. They don't have no imagination. All they know is shoot and battle and kill and blow something up. And all they know is fight and rape and robbery and crime and stealing and sexy clothes and Trans Ams and TRs and all kinds of things like that. You're going to have a mess on your hand if the Lord don't come back in a few years. My soul, what a world this is going to be. That's why we, as God's people, need to cry out like David, "Is the young man saved?" I want you to notice something. I'm going to talk to the parents just for a few minutes tonight. Then I'm going to speak just a word to the kids or the teenagers and the young people. I want you to notice that David did not ask how the battle went. No, sir. He was king of Israel. You would think that the king's main concern would be how the battle went. Did we win? Did we win? No, sir. He had one question. Is the young man saved? And David did not ask how much he cleared on the deal. He didn't say, well, did we make any? Did you get them Amorites, boys? Did you get their hide? Did you get their women? Did you get their jewelry? He didn't ask that at all. He said, is the young man saved? I want to know you to know tonight, friends, that's what our minds should be on. I know a lot of parents got their mind more on making money than they have on whether their kids is going to heaven or hell. I know a lot of parents got their mind more on a job or more on them getting ahead or making an extra dollar or getting in some overtime than they are spending time with their family, keeping their family out of hellfire. Many high society parents don't care if their children are saved. All they care about is their rank in society. If there's anything that looks ridiculous to me, if somebody here in McDowell County, boy, ain't we an important place. Marion, you know everybody in Beverly Hills knows about us. If there's anything that's sickening to my soul, it's parents in this town right here that I'm standing here preaching in. Now, I ain't talking about Morgan or Hickory. I'm talking about Marion. They strut around like they're some kind of big shot. And everything they got's Agner. And everything their kids has got is Levi and Nikes. And everything their family, and they wear the best of clothes, the best of shoes, and they make sure that their kid makes the cheerleading team. They make sure that their boy's on the football team. You say, what's wrong with all that? Nothing, but that ain't the most important thing. Let me tell you something, friend. God have mercy on moms and dads that think more of their kid being in the social ranks of this town in a little backside of nowhere than they would where that kid going to heaven or hell when that kid dies and leave this world. I'd rather my girl there tonight grow up and not be able to write her name and know the Lord's in her heart and got a hope for the future, got a place to go when she dies, than to go out and be the most popular, Miss whatever, Miss McDowell or Miss America or Miss Universe, and die and go to hell, wouldn't you? You say, oh, you're a little old-fashioned. No, you are. There's something wrong with you, friend. A woman or a man that would rather see their kid get on the front page of the McDowell News than to get out and witness on Saturday for Jesus has got their heart in the wrong place. Heard a man say one time, he's talking to this other guy, and he said, you got them kids in church? And the man said, well, now I'll tell you the way I look at it. You should not make your children go to church. He said, the way I look at it, religion is something that a kid should have a chance to make up their own mind about. You shouldn't interfere. Just let them grow up, do as they please, and choose themselves. Because you wouldn't want to force them. So the man took him out in the yard and he said, come here. Don't see my garden? And he said, yeah, and took him out there, and there was just a great big old pile, field of weeds. He said, how about my garden? And the guy said, garden, that ain't much of a garden. And he said, why you letting the weeds grow up and take over it like that? And he said, well, I didn't want to interfere. I just thought I'd leave it up to them how they wanted to grow. And I didn't want to judge them. I didn't want to make any decisions for them if them weeds wanted to come up. That'd be all right in me. I tell you the way I look at it. I just don't believe in enforcing weeds not to grow. I think they deserve a right. And, of course, you see the foolishness of it. That's what a lot of parents are doing. I've talked to parents right here in this town. You'd think somebody live around here to have better sense than this. Many churches we got. But I've talked to people in this town that said, I will not make my kid, little kid, go to church. Can you imagine that? But if the kid gets up on Monday morning and says, Mama, I don't want to go to school. You know what they say? You get ready. You're going. You're getting an education. You know what they're saying? They think school's more important than church. How many of you people here tonight think school is more important than church? Raise your hand. Of course, nobody in here. You probably wouldn't even be here if you didn't have no more sense than that. The very fact you're here shows you got a little bit of sense. The very fact that I'm here shows we may not be the smartest people in the world, brother, but we got one thing on the ball. We know what's most important. And it sure ain't school. And I'm not knocking school. You ought to go. You ought to graduate. Every kid here ought to graduate and do something with your life and get you an education. But don't never think that church is not more important than it is. Kid ain't got their homework done on Wednesday night. You ought to bring them to church and let the homework go. One of these days at the judgment, you'll be glad you made that decision. I heard about a man that lost the influence over his kids. Over three white hairs. You say, how did a man lose his influence over three white hairs? Well, he's a good Christian man. The old stray dog come to his house. They thought it was a stray. It really wasn't, belonging to somebody else. And this dog was a pretty old, like a German shepherd, and pretty gray and brown. Except it had three big white hairs in his tail. And not long after that, they had a newspaper article that said, anybody finding a dog, and they gave it such and such a name, German Shepherd, with this such and such description, so high, certain such area of the city, and the way you identify him, he's got three white hairs sticking up his tail. So when the man found that out, his boys had already got attached to the dog, and he went and said, boys, this dog got three white hairs. And they pulled him three white hairs out. And it wasn't long until somebody told the owner. They said, I believe that your dog's down there at such and such a house. So they went down there and said, yeah, I would like to check this over, see if it's my dog. And they said, well, we don't know. He checked it over and said, it looks like my dog. He said, one way I can tell is look and see if it's got three white hairs in its tail. And he looked and said, nope, no hairs there, bud. And the guy looked at the man and said, well, I guess it's not my dog. So he went on down the street. The man knew what he had done. The boys knew what he had done. And the boys knew that their daddy had picked those three white hairs out and that he had deceived that man. And the man said, we kept the dog, but right then and there, I lost my boys. He said, from then on, they never had no confidence in me as a Christian. Folks, did you know when those little eyes are on you, all they got to do is see you mess up one time. Just cheat somebody. Just tell one lie. Just tell one thing that you think, oh, it's not so bad. Well, you done got so hard-hearted, sin don't bother you no more. But your kid's heart is pure and clean. You can lose a kid over one wrong move like that. You can lay at home when you ought to be at church and someday lose that child. I heard of a young girl who asked her daddy, he's reading the paper, and said, Daddy, let's go to church today. It's Sunday. He said, oh, honey, I've not got time for that. I was up late last night. I'm tired now. I'm resting. Go on. So, 20 years went by. The old daddy had got his priorities straightened out by then. He had gray hairs. He started going to church. His girl, in the meantime, had got out and got wild. He got straightened out, got saved, started going to church, went to his daughter one time, and he said, honey, would you go to church with me? Would you go to church? I'm worried about the life you're living. She said, Daddy, I was up late last night. You see those words coming back to him? I was up late last night, and I'm tired some other time. Whatever you do when your kids is little will come back to you when you're an old person and they're grown. It'll come back. I heard about a young girl who had got out in a car wreck. And they'd been killed, and there was drink in the car, and liquor bottles and wine bottles all over the car. And several teenagers had been killed. And her daddy went down there, and when he found out his beautiful teenage daughter got killed in a wreck, he got so mad, he said, I'll kill the blankety blank that gave her that liquor. I'll kill him. He went home. He said, I've got to have a drink. Opened up his wine cabinet. In there was a note. Said, Dear Dad, we're taking along some of your wine tonight. I knew you wouldn't mind. Signed his daughter. She got it out of Dad's liquor case. I want to say to you tonight, friends, don't gripe about the stream being bitter when you poison the water. Don't fuss about the kids turning out bad when you, as a parent, pointed them in that direction. Chances are David was too busy with things he shouldn't have been busy with. and let he's lost his kid. You say, well, God's too good to let that happen. God's not going to let my kid. You think God loved you more than he does King David? King David! King David! The man that killed a giant. The man that wrote the Psalms. The man that wrote the beautiful song. That was after the heart of God. If God will let King David's kids be lost and go to hell, he'll let yours. Look back at chapter 13. Verse 37, just a second, before we speak to the young people a moment. Chapter 13, verse 37. You see in chapter 13? Look at verse 37. We see there, but Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ahimaaz, king of Geshur. Look at verse 37. And David mourned for his son every day. Brother, there was a man with a broken heart for his son. There's a man with his heart broken because of his son not living for God and not being in fellowship with him. How many of you moms and dads here tonight pray every day for your child? I heard of a young man one time. They had him in court, I think, for beating his wife. He abused her and beat him. Let me tell you tonight, you men better keep your hands off that little woman. She may make you so mad you'd like to kill her, but don't. Because it takes a low-down man to hit a woman. And you can like it, lump it, or choke on it. It's the truth. Grow up! You old big bruiser, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And it takes a pretty low-down woman to make a man mad enough to hit her. And some of them, you can't hardly blame them, you know it? I'm saying tonight that this young man had been in court for beating his wife, and she blew and had a black eye, you know, and her face all messed up. And they had him in there, and they said, a psychiatrist was talking to him, he's trying to get the root of his problem. And he found out that that man's daddy used to beat his mother around the house and slap her around. And the young boy finally confessed, and he said, every time I reared back my fist and hit my wife, he said, I didn't want to do it. But he said, every time I did it, I could see my daddy in my mind slapping mama around when I was little. He said, when I knocked my wife down, I saw my daddy hit my wife. When that boy turns up a beer can, he sees his daddy doing it in his mind. When that daddy smokes a cigarette, that boy smokes cigarettes, he sees his daddy doing it in his mind. Parents have everything in the world to do with how their kids turn out. I know in spite of all you can do, sometimes they go wrong, but 9 times out of 10, it's the parents that steered them whichever way they wind up going. Right now tonight, some 12-year-old kid is learning how to gamble, cuss, and drink. Right now, tonight, while I'm preaching, some 7th grader is trying marijuana for the first time. First time it's ever been to those lips. Right now, tonight, some youth is getting into a fight. Right now, while I'm preaching, some young man is being dared to break into a home and steal the furniture. Right now, tonight, some high school girl is losing her virtue to the hands of a vile and sinful, lustful man. Right now, tonight, some young girl is taking her first drink. Right now tonight, some young boy is going to his first party. Right now tonight, some 18-year-old is going to his first X-rated movie. They're being told there's no God, that they have no soul. Whatever turns them on to do it, they're being told from daylight till dark, have sex, live like the devil, party, drink. Folks, somebody's going to have to care and say, is the young people saved? Is the young people saved? They may think we're old fogies. They may think I'm mean for preaching against things that they like. But you better hear me tonight. We care about you. Whether you go to heaven or hell, that's more than that crowd out there cares about. That crowd will give you the dope. That crowd will take you to the dance. That crowd that will take you out in the back seat somewhere and use you, young girls, and use you. They don't care about you. They don't love you. You better stick to God's people with God's house that care about whether you go to heaven or hell. They're trying to save you a life of heartbreak. You kids better listen up tonight. You kids better hear me. I can save you a lot of tears running off your cheeks. A lot of times, young, I've been called. I saw a girl up here at the sheriff's department. She's sitting in there crying. Just like some of you young girls here tonight. You think, oh, he's so cute. I just love him to death. He won't be so cute when this thing starts happening to you.
That's right. Amen.
You'll wish you'd have never seen that dude.
Yes.
That's right. A boy that ain't got enough decency to keep his old filthy hands off of you.
Amen,
and treat you like a lady and respect you and want you to serve God and do right, you'd be better off without him. You may not agree now, but one of these days, some of you will come back and say, preacher, I wish I'd listened when you tried to tell us. Talk to some of these other people. Talk to some of these that God's been gracious to and wound up in a lap of sin, but God miraculously saved them, and now they've got their home straightened out. Talk to some of them. You'll find out where it leads. Well, let me say tonight, three things to our young people. Number one, are our young people saved? And I heard about a young woman that was up here going into her act and shouting all over the church, and her baby's back there crying for an hour and a half in the pew. There's something wrong with that kind of Christianity. Now, that is only a picture of the way a lot of moms and dads, they say, well, you kids, you can go watch J.R. commit adultery with every woman he can get his hands on. Me and Daddy is going to prayer meeting. You ain't doing your Christian duty. You say, well, me and my husband, we wouldn't dare do this or that. And you take your kids, go set them out somewhere. Amen. Are our young people saved? Wouldn't it be a tragedy tonight if the Lord come and most moms and dads who were saved, and you looked around and there's your 11 or 12-year-old kid left in this church and wasn't really saved? That'd be a sad thing. Some people think a 9-year-old couldn't go to hell. You got another thing coming, brother. That kid been taught. That kid reached the age of accountability. That kid know right from wrong. They'll go to hell like a drunk in Chicago on Main Street. You say, well, it's just hard for me to accept. It is me too, but it's a truth. You say, I just can't believe it. Well, God said it. That settles it. A man, woman, boy, or girl rejects Jesus Christ, their Savior, they'll go to hell. Now, little kids that don't know, don't understand, they're safe. They're not saved as born again, but they're safe. See, God takes care of them. And there is such a thing in the Word of God. But when that kid reaches that age where they know they ought to accept Jesus Christ and they deliberately say, no, I'm going to live for the devil. I want to do what I want to do. They're a candidate for hell right there. Sometimes we think of people going to hell. We think of an old drunk, somebody we've pleaded with for years and years and years. They're going to be young people in hell. I'm talking about 15 years old. I'm talking about 13-year-old girls in hellfire. Screaming. Burning. The same hellfire Charles Manson's going to. The same hellfire Mick Jagger is going to. The same hellfire Alice Cooper is going to. 13-year-old girl. And they won't be cute there either. Our young people saved. All right, let me say first of all tonight what you can be and not be saved. Here's some things that a young person can be and yet not be saved. First of all, he can be good looking. Absalom was. Look at chapter 14 and verse 25. Look at this with me just for a moment. I'll probably not ask you to turn any more, maybe one or two more, but probably this will be the last one. 2 Samuel chapter 14. And you'll see that Absalom was a good-looking young man. It probably turned out to be a curse to him, but anyway, he was. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, look with me at verse 25. 2 Samuel 14, 25. But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom. Boy, that sounds like a romantic name, don't it? Absalom. Don't that just sound like... Now, hold his place there. Don't that just sound like... Lord help me. Somebody give me one. Start to say Fonzie, but that don't...
Don't that? Don't Absalom just have that ring of Davy Jones to it? Or Fabian? Oh, all the young girls, Absalom. Oh, did you see Absalom? They had Absalom's name wrote up over their mirror in their bedroom. They had Absalom's picture. He was the first hippie, by the way, wasn't he? His hair was so long that he got it caught in a tree, I think, one day when he's riding down the road. Hung himself. It don't say it, but his head was caught in there. And anyway, man, he's a doll. That's all there was to it. So how do you know? Look at verse 25. But in all Israel, you see this? There was none to be praised so much as Absalom for his beauty, a boy. That's what it says. From the sole of his foot, listen to this, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish. He didn't have blemishes. He had no blemish in him. He didn't have a big old bump on his face. I mean, he didn't have to squeeze them. He never had false teeth. His hair wasn't greasy. I mean, this boy was right, son. And from the sole of his feet to the top of his head, there was no blemish in him. To put it in modern day language, boy, he was just a knockout. And he had long hair. And all the girls said, oh, he's just a doll. I just love him. I could squeeze him. That's right. And you know what made it even worse? He was the king's son. Now you think about that. The king of, I bet you he had the hottest camel in the school. I guarantee you did. Son, his camel was air conditioned, four in the floor. It even had Absalom on his tail lights. When he put on his brakes, it said Absalom. You can see it right. He's sharp, boy. I mean, he had it down pat. This boy was good looking. But oh, was they in for a surprise. You can be good looking and not be saved. Sometimes I think beauty on a kid's a curse on them. I hate to say it. I know a lot of young girls. They's pretty. And when they grew up in school, people started saying, you're so pretty, you're pretty. And it went to their head. And they got started thinking they was a little bit better than everybody else. And then they got to look at home and say, boy, I am prettier than all of them. They got to wearing double makeup and double tight clothes and starving themselves to death to keep their figure going just because somebody told them it's pretty. And they got in with the in crowd and going to the big parties and got in with the famous crowd and they died and went to hell. That happens all the time. God help us. The Bible said favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. You know what vain means? Empty. Void. Beauty's skin deep, brother. Ugly goes all the way down to the bone. But beauty is only skin deep. We have a bunch of beautiful young girls in here tonight, young men growing up. One of these days, you'll be a beautiful young lady and blossom out into a wonderful young woman. And brother, the devil will be after you. He'll say, you got such a beautiful body. Show it off. Nothing, no use saving it for one man. Share it. Let the world see what you have. But don't you do it, young people. That's a devil. You can be good looking and go to hell. Don't you forget that. The Lord did make you for one man. The Lord did make you for one woman. And expects you to love and honor and cherish that one that He gives to you. And you can be good looking, die and go to hell. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in Proverbs 11:22, as a jewel of gold in a pig's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. What does that mean? That means if you go down here and look at an old pig, old fat, slobbering, wallery, stinking pig, in mud that deep, and see a big old jewel in her nose, say, what a waste. That thing worth thousands of dollars in that old pig's nose. That's just exactly like a beautiful girl who struts around, commits adultery, and gets drunk. Just like a pretty piece of ring in an old pig's nose. You know what Bo Derek is? She's a just like a ring in a pig's nose.
Amen.
She's just an old pig. That's all she is. That's right. So is Dolly. Old pig. Pig, 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 pig. Oink, oink, oink. You know why the Bible calls a woman, a wicked woman, compares her to a pig? Well, number one, pigs will eat anything. And so will a nasty woman. Right. Pigs are lazy, so is a nasty woman. That's why the Bible compares a woman to a sow, and it compares a lost man to a dog. The sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog returned to his vomit. Man eats pretty bad stuff, he'll eat that. Anyway, brother, the jewel of gold in a pig's snout, so is a beautiful girl, which is without discretion. You know what the prettiest girl in town is? The girl who the Lord has blessed with a pleasant personality, who keeps herself neat and clean, and dresses modest, and saves herself for the young man that God gives her in matrimony. That's a beautiful girl, brother. There's nobody any prettier to me than a Christian girl. I mean a real Christian girl. You don't want to see them out here running up and down the street with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth. Their hair is all matted back, and they got on some kind of rock and roll shirt. No! No! That ain't beauty. That's trashy. Brother, we need some young men and women that'll say, I'll not go to hell. You can be good looking and not be saved. Not only that, you can be talented. He was a gifted young man. Oh, the wasted talent that young people have today. Listen, there. If America ever turned back to God, more than likely, it would be the young people that got the thing going. Most of the older folks, I'm not saying all, most of them have done about what they're going to do. They're setting their ways, and ain't much change unless the Lord blasts them out with dynamite. That means it's left up to a younger group coming on, if anything gets done, to do it. I want to say tonight, kids, that don't waste your talent. God has given every one of you a talent tonight. Some of you can sing. You've got such beautiful voices. There ain't no telling. We could have a trio up here of young girls that could sing Beat the Birds, brother. I mean, they could sing to beat anything you ever heard if they just wasn't so silly and wasn't so proud and said, what you need to do is say, I'm going to use my talent for God. What a wasted talent. I think about the Beatles a lot of times. You know when the Beatles first started? I think before they ever got famous, they wasn't about 15, 16 years old. Then they hit the big time when they got about 20, 19, 20, 21. And, you know, those guys were talented, really. I don't agree with all they'd done. And I know this biggest bunch of devils ever hit this country and sent us on a slide road to hell. I realize that. But there's one thing you've got to admit. Those boys were talented. I mean, you talk about talent, them boys got talent. And what look, they still got some, most of them about burn out. But I want you to know, those boys, when I first started listening to the Beatles, they could sing three-part harmony as good as anybody I've ever heard in my life. They come up with some of the prettiest songs. John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote some of the prettiest pieces of music that this generation has ever seen. You still hear their music playing in the shopping centers as shopping music. It's just pleasant tunes. Since then, we've gone a long way. But I want you, I said that to say this. You think about if those boys had to turn that thing around and use that talent for the Lord. You think of what they could have done. Come over here and saying, Jesus is the answer. And sung them three parts and testified. They could have kept a million souls out of hell, no doubt. But instead, they've damned them and ruined them and robbed them of virtue and got them on drugs and sent them to hell by the millions and multitudes. Oh, the wasted talent of our young people today. Some of them can play instruments, draw, or speak. Some of you girls have got the talent to speak. Some of you boys have got the talent to speak. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be a preacher. There ain't no talent. What a life, have an influence you could have for God if you just would. You can be talented and not be saved. Not only that, you can be popular and not be saved. You know that? He was the king's son. But it didn't make no never mind, brother. When the time comes, he died just like anybody else. And he wasn't saved. The young man Absalom was popular. I'd say anybody who ever read the news or even heard anything or knew what was going on in Israel knew about Absalom. He's popular. Everybody knew him, boy. When he'd walk down the street, people would be sitting over here on their camels or in their buggies, and they'd say, "Mama, there he goes. Who? There's Absalom, the king's son." Everybody knew him. He's popular, but he wasn't saved. You can be popular and not be saved. Do you know that? That's what you do in school. You knock your brains out to be accepted by the crowd. And the big thing now is be popular. Be popular. I'm going to make sure my kid gets to the top in school. No, that ain't what you should be worrying about. You better be thinking about if they get up there to glory. The thing now, parents are pushing their kids, be popular, be popular, be popular. Pushing them, pushing them, pushing them, pushing them. Be popular. Well, who's going to care 100,000 years from now? What's it all going to matter when we're in eternity? The big thing now, no matter what you have to do to get it, just be popular. And most of the time you have to go along with a sinful crowd in order to do it. See, the devil's in charge of the school system.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying everybody there is of the devil. There's a lot of good Christian school teachers, a lot of good Christian coaches, a lot of good Christian counselors, but as a whole, the devil is in charge of the public school system. That's why you can tell as much difference as daylight and dark when a kid goes to a Christian school and a kid goes to a public school.
Amen.
There's a difference. And the devil's in charge. And constantly, from the time they walk in to the time they walk out, they constantly pressure, conform, conform, conform. Do like we do. Talk like we talk. Act like we act. If you don't, you're out. You're out of our clique. You'll be out there by yourself. You'll have no friends. I remember one or two people in my class. And this is at Nebo High School. This is not at McDowell. One or two people in my class that tried to live decent when I went to school. And we called them everything you could think of. I'm ashamed of it now. I wish I hadn't have done it. But this one boy, I believe he's a Christian. He never did witness to me. This one boy in our class, I never heard him cuss. I never heard him using bad language, or he wouldn't participate. You know, we'd say something dirty around him, and he'd just kind of blush, you know, and always mind his own business, wouldn't cheat, you know. I believe that boy was a Christian. And all the times we'd made fun of him. We called him sissy. We called him names. You know why? I think it was because we was mad because he wouldn't give in and be like we was. I think. That boy died about a year after we got out of school. And it bothered me. It just bothered me for a long time. I was really ashamed of what we said to him. And you know something, folks? Kids, look at me just a second. I'm looking into the eyes of 12, 13, 14-year-old kids all over this church tonight. Listen, kids, being popular is not everything. Let them go. Let them do what they want to. Make up your mind you're going to do right. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I can't have no fun." Yeah, you can. You don't need that kind of junk. You can have a whole lot more fun just staying clean. The Lord will bless you, and you'll have friends that you never even realized existed. God will bless you. And one day, you'll be glad you did. Don't do like I did. Don't be sucked into the crowd and saying, "Oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that." You got to be with the in crowd at school. And it ain't nothing. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but maybe the Lord wants me to. You think it's bad? Well, it is bad, and I'm going to say something about that in a minute. But maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I can't get it off my mind. One of the worst things we've done in this county is build that school up there. Now, you can say what you want to. You can say, I'm old-fashioned, I'm old. But, brother, all you got to do is go back and do a little bit of research. I never even saw any marijuana at Nebo School. Never. Not one time. You know when all my classmates got on it? The next year. It became McDowell High. And I'm not saying it's all bad. And I'm not. Please don't take me wrong. I'm for everything good. I'm for progress. I'm for accomplishments. But just make sure our progress is going in the right direction. I may be messing up here tonight with some of you. Some of you may have a daddy that's on the whatever board. We ought to take a board to them. You can be popular, but be saved. And then number two, every young person should be saved. Think of three things Absalom had. Number one, think of his capabilities. He would have been king of Israel had he not got himself messed up. This boy had a future in front of him, buddy. I ain't kidding you. He had a capability of being king of Israel. What if he'd have got on the throne when King David died and said, we're going to serve God in righteousness, and thousands would have been turned to the Lord because of his godly influence. But no, he blew it. He blew it! There's thousands of young men sitting in prison right now, that one day heard a preacher get up and holler like I'm hollering at you tonight and said, oh, he's old-fashioned, he's against everything. I don't agree with him on that. And he's sitting in prison tonight that could have been pastoring a church or preaching the gospel or helping somebody else. There are all kinds of capabilities. They're lost now. Think of his opportunities to witness and help others. What an influence Absalom could have had. Can you imagine Absalom going to the school and carrying his Bible? And they said, oh my goodness, look at Absalom. He has done got religion. Oh boy, he's going to preach to us. Now, old Absalom, he could have turned around to that crowd and said, thus saith the Lord. You know, that old wicked bunch he went to school with and said, except you repent, you'll perish. And I love you, boys. I ain't going to hell with you. And if he'd have just stood his ground, sooner or later, one by one, they'd have started sneaking over and joining his side. All it takes would be one young person to really get some guts and stand for the Lord, and they could start a revival in this county. Revival could sweep McDowell County. Listen, folks, listen. There's boys in hell tonight. There's kids that lived in this county just a few weeks ago that's in hell right now. Some of them wouldn't say, you hearing me? It's time for some of our kids to get on fire for God and say, I'm going to get serious. I'm going to be a witness at school. I'm going to quit floating along with a crowd and letting them tell me what I do and what I don't do. By God's grace, I'll be different. I'll witness. I'll stand for the Lord. I remember when I got saved, some of my best friends, they said, I remember two or three of them, they said, I give him 3 weeks. They said, you about Danny Castle? He got saved. One of my best friends said, I give him 3 weeks. He'll be back. And I heard he said that about me, and that hurt me so bad. Kind of hurt my feelings. I thought, boy, they must not think I'm serious about this thing. But somehow the days turned into weeks. The weeks turned into months. And I got wrapped up in church and forgot about that crowd. And I started studying the Bible. The months turned into years. And every time I'd see one of them boys, it'd kind of bother me. But I saw them a little at a time, one by one, come in and get saved. We stood our ground one night down at Hardy's in Morganton. I've told you about it before. We got in a Holy Ghost prayer meeting down there in the back of a van. We was going to hold services at a little church. Son, we got fired up. We said, boy, we're going to witness. We're going to witness. We're going to witness. I thought, I ain't been saved long. I thought, amen. We're down here in Morganton. Nobody don't know us. I witnessed anybody in there. Year after I got out of school. So, we went into Morganton and Hardy's. Boy, we was going to witness to everybody in there. There wasn't nobody in there. We looked around, and lo and behold, in about 5 minutes, in pulled a big old bus. It said McDowell High School. I said, oh, my soul. Here they come. And about 400 cars pulled in right behind it. They had a football game, and every last one of them
started walking. Now, I bet you there's 150 walked in that place. And if I hadn't been with them other boys, I'd have probably just eased on out. I hate to say it, but I probably would have.
And I said, nope. They never did do nothing to help me. If I still listened to them, I'd still be going to hell. I ain't got no business listening to that crowd. I don't owe them nothing. Here I am with these Christian boys, and the Lord saved me. And I prayed a silent prayer and said, Lord, if you'll give me grace, here it goes. And I made a decision that night to get it off my chest and let them know whose side I was on. And that night I stood and saw some of my friends laugh at me. Brother, that was a great point in my Christian life right there. Thank God, Lord, give us a little grace to stand. And brother, I stood there that night. I said, boys, I've left the old way. I'm on the winning side now. I'll be praying for you. No, they said, oh, yous are crazy. Oh, yous don't do this no more. Oh, you silly fanatic. Oh, they called us everything in the book. I couldn't tell you the number that are now saved out of that group. Some's in prison, some's in hell. But blessed be the Lord. We had an opportunity, and I may not have done a lot of things right, but thank God I got a good lick in that night. And I encourage you young people to take advantage of your opportunities. Ain't going to be there forever. I say it once, I'll say it again. One young person really standing, God could use them to sweep a revival through this county. Right. That's the key, brother. That's the key, them schools. If you can ever get in them schools, brother, it'll spread like wildfire, and parents will follow, and aunts and uncles will follow, and there'll be a moving of God. You mark my word. You mark my word. You know, say, how do you know? Because the parents follow the kids, everything else. The kids play ball, all the parents are there. The kids start dressing a certain way, it ain't long, you mark my word, till the parents start doing it. And when a kid gets saved, sooner or later, the kids will come in and follow him. Think of his temptations and his dangers. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, we had it hard when we went to school. I've heard it said, kid ain't no harder on kids today than it was back in 1930 when I graduated. I don't know so much about that, folks. I don't believe that. I believe it is worse today. I believe a lot of you moms and dads are fooling yourselves. I believe a lot of you moms and dads are sticking your head in the sand. You don't want to know how bad the thing really is at school. You think, oh yeah, this couldn't be that bad. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? What about the seventh grader over here in East last year that came home one day with some strange-looking medicine? And I think that turned out to be cocaine. What about the thousands and thousands of sixth and fifth graders that are getting hurt for the guts they got to stand for the Lord? I admire a sixth grader or a seventh grader that'll go to school, and when the question's asked, say, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Take that Bible to school. Amen. I admire you. You got it hard. There's never a time in life like adolescence, and when you're 12 and 13, you're going through a period there where you're trying to prove to the world that you are somebody. You're going through a period there where you'll nearly do anything for friends and to be accepted. I admire a Christian young person who'll say no. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. If you ever need this preacher's help, listen, I'll take up for you. By the grace of God, if I can, I'll take up for you. If anybody gives you any lip, just let me know. I'll try my best to take up for you. Really, I will. I'll be on your side. I admire you for having the guts to stand with the whole world against you. Then finally, in closing tonight, thank God every young person may be saved. The love of God declares it. John 3:16. Listen, if you're not saved here tonight, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be saved right here on this altar tonight. You can leave that old life. You can start a new life. Not only does the love of God declare it, the death of Jesus assures it. 1 John 2:2, He is the propitiation for our sins.
And not for our sins only,
but for the sins of the whole world.
Not only does the love of God declare it, not only does the death of Jesus assure it, but the word of the gospel invites it.
Romans 10:13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God every young person may be saved. Let's bow our heads. Tonight I may have said some things that rubbed you wrong. I hope not, but I probably did. Tonight God may have spoke to your heart. While the song is made ready, I want to encourage you to search your heart. And I want to ask every person in this room, if you died right now, if you were to fall over in that seat, this is serious, folks, and die, would you go to heaven? If you know for beyond a shadow of a doubt you'd go to heaven if you died right now, raise your hand. Just slip up your hand. All right, you can put them down. Some hands could not go up tonight. Many could not go up. We're not here to hurt you or embarrass you or pressure you in any way. But let me encourage you, especially if you're a young person here tonight, if God spoke to your heart and you want to be saved, girls, young men, why don't you come and get saved? Just slip up on out of your seat right now and come on down here.
If you have your Bibles tonight, open the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 18. 2 Samuel, chapter 18. While you're turning to that tonight, I want to see how many young people we have here tonight. Well, let's just take it under 20. If you're under 20, stand up. Let's hold it up for a minute. Now, under 25, the rest of you stand up. Anybody under 25? All right, the rest of you look around now. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Good crowd of young people here tonight, and that's what we're going to be talking about. If all of those young people's parents were here, there wouldn't be nowhere to sit. Makes you kind of wonder, don't it? Now, if you have your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 18. Second Samuel chapter 18. Now everybody get just as quiet as you can, okay? Just as quiet as you can. Second Samuel chapter 18, begin reading verse 19. This is the story of David and his son Absalom. I used this thought a couple of years ago and maybe used a little bit different tonight than before. But I feel like the Lord laid this message on our heart for the service tonight. And we want to bring you a message tonight from 2 Samuel chapter 18. Begin reading verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, Go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. See, that's the only way they got news. They didn't have telephones. When they want to tell somebody something, somebody'd run and tell them. Then said Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, Run. There's a case of a man with a lot of zeal and no knowledge. He's wanting to run, and he ain't got nothing to say, but he's just wanting to run. And Joab says, Well, ain't nothing else to do. You just run. He takes off running. Ain't got nothing to say. He just takes off running. Then Ahimeaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, Behold, another man running alone. And the king said, He also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimeaz called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king, and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimeaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant, and me thy servant, I saw a great multitude, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up over to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. In verse 32, you'll find the text. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? I want to preach to you tonight on Is the young man safe? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for our help, our strength, all the many blessings of life, God, that you've given us. Lord, we realize and know tonight, God, that without you, we're nothing. And Lord, unless you come and help us and anoint these lips of clay, we'll not be able to say or do anything tonight, Lord. It'd be of eternal value. Oh, God, we pray the Holy Spirit of the living God may come, touch these lips of clay. Help us, Lord, to say just exactly what you'd want said tonight. Our Father, we realize the devil is making a bid for our young people. I pray, God, that we as moms and dads will rise up and plead the blood and claim the promises and say it'll not be so. Lord, our young people will be saved. God, I don't only pray for my daughter sitting here tonight. I don't only pray, Lord, for my other church members here tonight, their kids. Lord, I don't only pray for these kids that come on the bus, Lord, I don't even know their names. But God, I pray for that multitude of boys and girls out there tonight, running up and down
down the street with no hope, with no God, with no future. Lord, if something don't happen, help us tonight, Lord, as a church, to get under the burden and care and pray and work and fast and do what's necessary that our young people may be saved. Save that one which is lost here in this service tonight. Help them to realize, God, this is no playing games. Help them, Lord, to realize this serious business and do what needs to be done in the lives of parents and kids here tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, is the young man safe? Or, as we would think about it tonight, are the young people saved? That ought to be the main question in every mom and dad's mind. Is my boy saved? Is my girl saved? And of course, if they're not, it should be the main goal in a man or a woman's life for their children to be saved. Of course, this is a question that every parent should ask. Now, in this story tonight, you'll find an amazing truth. David, the king of Israel, was a great man. David was king. He ruled over all the land of Israel. And David had some sons. And because of his sin with Bathsheba, he reaped it in his four sons. Nathan told David, he said, you're going to restore fourfold. And David did just that. Four times he went to a funeral or a gravesite or had a tragedy in the home and restored four lambs for the sheep that he stole from Uriah the Hittite. And David reaped a lot of his sin in his children. And a lot of David's problems came in his children because of his sin. And of course tonight we don't like to think about that, but it's Bible and gospel truth that many times the mess our children gets into is because of the sinful life that we and as moms and dads would live in front of them. Now, it came to pass on this day that they had a great battle, and the king's son was killed in the battle. You remember the story of Absalom, and I'm going to be telling you a little bit more about this young man in a minute. But the king's son was killed in battle, and there was two men came to run and tell David about the battle. The first one came in, and he's holding up his fingers, and he's saying, all is well. The Lord has given us the victory. And the king said, is the young man safe? That's what David was concerned about. And that old first boy, he said, oh, everything's well. He said, now, I don't want to spoil the good news. I saw a big crowd gathering around over there. Looked like somebody was hurt, but I didn't pay no attention to it. I don't believe you got nuts to worry about, king. That man would be represented by the school system and by the educational world and by the public world and by the TV and by the teeny bop magazines. They're telling you there's nothing to worry about, that boys will be boys and girls will be boys and every kid's got to sow their wild oats. But then the next little runner came in and he said, what are y'all laughing at? Did I mess up? Y'all a bunch of smart alecks. You know it? Ruin a good message. But anyway, whatever I meant to say, that's what I meant. And he came in and he said, hey, king, I've got news. And the king said, what, is the young man safe? And he said, king, I sure do hate to tell you, but I've got heavy tidings. Now that word heavy, you know, as the young people say today, man, that's heavy. Well, that really means bad. It don't mean good. When kids say heavy today, they say, boy, I like that. But in the Bible, heavy meant terrible. And he said, I've got heavy tidings. And when somebody come along and said, I've got heavy tidings, they meant bad news, brother. Heavy, heavy, hang over your head. I mean, you're in trouble. Something terrible has done happen. And so he came in and he said, heavy tidings. And the king said, well, what is it? And he said, is the young man safe? Is the young man safe? And the man said, well, king, let me put it like this. Let all your enemies be as that young man is. And King David, with a broken heart, and with a broken soul and with a contrite spirit, hung his head and went walking through the palace after it was too late for his boy to be saved. and begin to cry and scream and say, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son, my son Absalom." You know, many times moms and dads don't even speak to their kids, have a wrong relationship between a daddy and a son or a mother and a daughter, but when they walk in and see them in a little casket or see them stretched out there in the funeral home, they cry out, "Oh, my son, my son, my son, my son." But it's too late to do anything about it. You see, Absalom and David had had a little falling out a few years before over the rape of the girl there, Ammon, in a few chapters back. And Absalom avenged his brother's rape of his fat sister. And David was, he was going to get in trouble, so he ran away from home. And David and Absalom was not on speaking terms. Absalom didn't want to follow in his daddy's footsteps. They had a bad relationship, like a lot of parents have with their teenagers today. I have moms in this county that call me on the telephone and says, "This Danny Castle." And I say, "Yeah." And they say, "This is so-and-so." And they say, "I go to this church, I do that and that. So I've got a boy, and I want you to know, I wish there's some way you could go talk to him." And I said, "Well, what's the matter?" And they said, "Well, he's out here living with a gang in an old house down here, and they're on drugs, and they're living like the devil." And she says, "I can't talk to him. He won't come home. And every time he walks in the house, me and him gets in a fuss. I've just lost complete contact with him. Oh, would you help me pray? Would you go visit him?" And a lot of times we have. Sometimes it helped, and sometimes it didn't. Sometimes they lost that kid way back yonder when they'd led home and on Sunday and wouldn't take him to the house of God. When that kid was little and they should have had him in God's house hearing the preaching, they was laying out on Saturday night to movies and laying home watching TV on Sunday night. And then when they get out and get in trouble and get on drugs and get in jail, they call somebody trying to, "Hey, it's too late then, folks. Now's the time to do something about them while they're little." That's why we have youth revival. That's why we have youth services. That's why we have Sunday school. It's so that our young people will be saved. I want you to know, listen, folks, if the Lord don't come, you're going to see a wild generation in about 20 years. This generation growing up on punk rock and growing up, you know, these all they know is video games. They don't know how to get out and run and play. They don't have no imagination. All they know is shoot and battle and kill and blow something up. And all they know is fight and rape and robbery and crime and stealing and sexy clothes and Trans Ams and TRs and all kinds of things like that. You're going to have a mess on your hand if the Lord don't come back in a few years. My soul, what a world this is going to be. That's why we, as God's people, need to cry out like David, "Is the young man saved?" I want you to notice something. I'm going to talk to the parents just for a few minutes tonight. Then I'm going to speak just a word to the kids or the teenagers and the young people. I want you to notice that David did not ask how the battle went. No, sir. He was king of Israel. You would think that the king's main concern would be how the battle went. Did we win? Did we win? No, sir. He had one question. Is the young man saved? And David did not ask how much he cleared on the deal. He didn't say, "Well, did we make any? Did you get them Amorites, boys? Did you get their hide? Did you get their women? Did you get their jewelry?" He didn't ask that at all. He said, "Is the young man saved?" I want to know you to know tonight, friends, that's what our minds should be on. Most, I know a lot of parents got their mind more on making money than they have on whether their kids is going to heaven or hell. I know a lot of parents got their mind more on a job or more on them getting ahead or making an extra dollar or getting in some overtime than they are spending time with their family, keeping their family out of hellfire. Many high society parents don't care if their children are saved. All they care about is their rank in society. If there's anything that looks ridiculous to me, if somebody here in McDowell County, boy, ain't we an important place. Marion, you know everybody in Beverly Hills knows about us. If there's anything that's sickening to my soul, it's these parents in this town right here that I'm standing here preaching in. I ain't talking about Morgan and her Hickory. I'm talking about Marion. They strut around like they're some kind of big shot. And everything they got's Agner. And everything their kids has got is Levi and Nikes. And everything their family, and they wear the best of clothes, the best of shoes, and they make sure that their kid makes the cheerleading team. They make sure that their boy's on the football team.